in the light of that, remember now in chapter 12, he's going to bring his last words to the public. And John records them, the last things he says to the multitude. He's going to talk in the upper room, that's true. He's going to talk to the priest and the Pontius Pilate, that's true. But he is not going to address the multitude. This is it. Now he's going to say something, he's going to sum up his wonderful, wonderful person and his ministry and what they needed to understand most desperately. Now, keep in mind also, as we shared in John chapter 12, that the Greeks, John chapter 12 and verse 20, etc., the Greeks, the Gentiles, and the Jews, Philip, Andrew, the apostles and Jews, they're all there, and they want to meet him and know him. And he answers them, not giving what they're looking for. He tells them, in order to know him, in order to know and understand and have a wonderful relationship to who he is, you're going to have to follow him all the way to the cross. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to understand he has to die. And we shared that, verse 24, 23, 24, 25, all the way down to verse 33. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So he made it very clear that you cannot even come close to God in understanding and knowing him apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And apart from Calvary's cross, he has to die for the sin of the world. And if he doesn't die for the sin of the world, then there's no way on earth you can have a relationship that is safe, sane, and wonderfully secure. You can't have that relationship apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Now, and in so doing so, he reminds them, chapter 12, in verse 40, he quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And he tells them the attitude so far, remember now, he's speaking to the crowd, and the crowd, he just told them he has to go to the cross. He told them he's the Son of God, the Son of Man, verse 34, the end of verse 34, if you would. The Son and forever, and how sayest thou, they asked, the Son of Man must be lifted up. What do you mean the Son of Man must be crucified, lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? They just don't want to identify with him at all. And therefore, he makes it very clear, verse 35 and 36, that he is the light of the world and they are in the light. And if you reject the light, you're left in darkness. And if you're in darkness, you don't see. And if you don't see, there's no way to identify anything apart from light. You have to have light. And remember, we shared together the law of physics and all of that, that light, we don't see things, we only see light reflected. You don't see wood, you don't see each other. You see a reflection of you in the light. Otherwise, you're just something you could feel and touch. You couldn't see you. You couldn't identify your shirt, tie, or anything. Light makes that possible. How are we going to see the invisible God? Light. Light. He's the light in order to have sight, in order to see God. How can we see an invisible God? By light. You need light. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who's light, you can't see. And thus he quotes chapter 12, verse 40. which is Isaiah chapter 6, etc., 9 and 10, 11. Now, having said that, that's way back in Isaiah's day. Remember, the 10 tribes in the north, they're going to go the Assyrian captivity. 100 years later, thereabouts, the Babylonian captivity. Isaiah is looking at both of them, and he says, why does that happen? Because Israel has got a hard heart, and they don't believe.
They love darkness rather than light. They put light, Isaiah 5:20. They put light for darkness and darkness for light. And when you turn everything upside down, boy, it's very difficult. Now, so he quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, because that's the conditions in Isaiah's day. When you come to our Lord's day, John, God's penman, is going to quote it again, chapter 12 and verse 40, etc. And he's going to, and the Apostle Paul, Acts 28, is going to quote it again. What is the reason for all? Because when they have light and sight and understanding and they reject it, you're left in darkness. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, they didn't believe. That was their problem. They just didn't believe. Now, over if you would please, and remember now they rejected the cross, and if you would, the chief rulers, remember verse 42, nevertheless among the chief rulers, that's the Sanhedrin, that's the Supreme Court, that's the Sanhedrin, many believed. They believed on him, believed, to believe, be persuaded, look to. They headed in his direction. They said, boy, you are who you are. But, verse 42, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So they went so far as to say, you make a very large impression upon us, and we agree that you are surely not like us. But are we going to go so far as to rest upon you? No, and rely and confess you? No, because if we did so, the Pharisees, who are sticklers for it, we would lose our right, privilege to go to the synagogue, to go to worship, to have fellowship, to have a job in the community, to be accepted by the public. We would be outcast. Hold your finger here, remember, John chapter 9 and in verse 22. John and 9 and 22. And remember now, this is the parents of the blind man that was now having sight. 9 and 22, and they wouldn't acknowledge that their son was given sight by the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't dare do that which was so obvious. Verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess, there's your little word, that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. You'd be lose out in every way. So these dear Sanhedrin, they're up at the top. They don't want to lose out. I mean, they're publicly recognized. They have prestige and possession and power. Wow. They have all that. So now, having said that little bit, and they did not confess him, not at all. They did not, and the word confess, remember, is together with, then a little word, L-I-K-E, together with like, and then a third word, word, W-O-R-D, word, to say. They did not say the same thing together with our Lord said who he was, and to confess, they would agree with the Lord who said he was who he was. Now, in the light of that, he said who he was. In the light of this, remember now, they didn't confess. There's we shared together last time, a whole lot of people like that believe, but they didn't believe. Now, after Pentecost, after the cross, probably many of them did. But at this point, the Lord wouldn't trust what they believe, but they didn't believe. Now, and they, confession doesn't save anybody. Confession doesn't. And remember, just different, the apostles, after his resurrection, didn't believe. after he rose again, they didn't believe he rose again. So you have to understand, were they locked in? No, they knew, but they didn't know. They couldn't understand the grasp, the impact, the awesomeness of what? That he was really who he is, and he rose again. It was awesome. Now, hanging on to that, confession doesn't save. Keep that in mind. Over to Titus. Titus and chapter 1, remember. And you'll get the flavor of it so you see it. And in Titus chapter 1, may I pick up, please, directly in verse 16. They profess, there's your little word, confess, spelt profess, to say, the same thing. They confess or they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate, rejected. Now, they said, we know him. We know the Bible. We know that. We know that. That does not make you saved. That does not make you saved. And the chief rulers in John 12, the Sanhedrin, etc., the Sanhedrinists, are those people, we believe, but we don't believe enough. Don't believe enough to say so. Now, hang on to that, if you would. Over to Romans chapter 10, and to say it, see it, confess, as you know. Romans chapter 10, and picking up, if I may, in verse 9. That if thou shalt, 10:9 Romans. That if, here's a little word again, verb. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You're going to do that with your mouth, vocally. And believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you're going to believe in your heart that he's risen from the, he died for you, rose again, and gives you life. And therefore, you're going to believe that in your heart. Not he's crucified, he rose again even. Verse 10. For with the heart, that's what heart, it's a heart problem. Think of Sunday school and dispensations. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation in the direction of being saved. And we're able to say that I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as my Savior in my heart, as it were, and he has provided me the righteousness of God, which I did not have. Now, having said that, I'm able to confess and say to you, I am saved, because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again. I believe in my heart, and in believing in my heart, I enjoy his righteousness, and having his righteousness, I'm able to go and confess that is true. Now, having said that, now, that's confession. And that the Pharisees, the people that believed, the rulers, couldn't do that. They just couldn't do that. Now, go with me, please, over to one other place that will help us. Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. And you will note a note that will help us on understanding confession doesn't save. You confess what you believe. You could confess something you don't believe, but you're going to confess something that you understand in your head and heart to some measure. Now, chapter 23, verse 8 of the book of Acts. For the Sadducees say, there is no resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the spirit, nor spirit, just material that fit in today quite well. But the Pharisees confess both. They believed in angels and the resurrection. So, the Pharisees are saying, we believe in the resurrection, a future resurrection, but we don't believe what the Lord is doing, but we believe in the resurrection, we believe in angels. They confess that. It didn't do them any good before God yet, but they confess it. Now, having said that little bit, so keeping in mind, confession is not going to do the job. You need to have a heart relationship. There's no question about it. Now, John chapter 12, back over there. In John 12, remember verse 34, the people wanted, didn't believe. They said, who is the Son of Man? They rejected him. Our Lord is standing right in front of them, right in the middle of them. And he's telling them, I am the light. Verse 35, verse 36, I am the light. I'm standing right in front of you. If you reject me, you won't have me anymore because I'm going to go out of here to trial, to the cross, to the grave. Rise again. You aren't going to see me again. This is it. This is it. I'm telling you who I am. I'm standing in front of you. You can't have more witness. The sunlight is very bright on bright, and you can't miss seeing who I am. I'm telling you as clearly and as simply and as wonderfully as I can. If you reject that, you're in the dark, which is what they did. Now, having said that, you're now ready, and remember now, well, a little more will help, over to chapter 10, if you would, of John. Remember how they thought, we know Joseph, we know Mary, we know your half-brothers and sisters, we know this, and who are you? You can't be God, having them as a family, as it were. John chapter 10, verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, speaking what? Because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. That's our problem. We can't reconcile you standing in front of us saying that you're God. That is very hard for us. Now we're ready to look at verse 44. Chapter 12, verse 44. And you'll note, Jesus cried, remember they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were looking more for human recognition than from God. Verse 44, Jesus cried, the word cried, out loud, to cry very loud, you can't miss it. He cried out loudly and said, he that believeth on me believeth not, N-O-T, on me. Do you understand when I'm asking you to believe me, to rely fully on who I am and what I say to you, my words and works? Do you understand when I say that? It isn't me you're trusting. I'm the voice. I'm the person. I'm the vehicle. It isn't me. No, you aren't believing on me. Verse 44. But on him that sent me. You're believing on God that sent me. You aren't believing on a human, perfect body. You're believing on God. The Word became flesh, John 1:14, and what? Dwelt among us. He became flesh. God. What are you talking about? What's the whole Gospel of John? He's God. Lord, you can't say it clearer. Verse 45. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. When you look at me, you see him. Verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness, because I'm the light. I'm the light to show the person of God. Chapter 14, as you know, all kinds of ways, we'll just do it that way. John chapter 14, picking up if I can, in verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth, from now on, you know him and have seen him. And they're all looking in the upper room. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? I am the Father. Do you understand that? You're looking at flesh, born in Bethlehem of Judea, in order to house a wonderful God in a most wonderful way, to know him and to honor him, and therefore to overcome blindness, blindness, blindness. And the problem, remember chapter 12 of John, verse 37, But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And the miracles are without number. Without number. But he did. John records certain ones that are helpful. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. But in the light of everything, the healings, the feedings, the awesome things you just did, God, to hundreds of people all at once. How could we miss? They didn't miss. They didn't even have a problem. They knew. They knew he did them. They enjoyed the miracles like a magician, like somebody that had some way to magically do something. But you could not and would not, they did not and could not, recognize him as God. They would not do that. Now, so with all those miracles and all the wonder of those miracles, and all of them pointed to who he was, and they just could not and did not recognize all that who he was. And while you're here, think of it, over to John and chapter 20, just to point it out, I said it, but just so you see it. John chapter 20, if I can, in verse 30. And many other signs, miracles, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written, though, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. These are written so that you can know. Over to chapter 21. Well, how are we going to close? John 21, verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Now, John, are you a stoop? No, you aren't a stoop. Do you understand books and parchments? I do. Do you understand all the parchments that are in Rome, in Jerusalem, in the synagogue? We do. Are you familiar with lots of books? Just think of the public library in Washington with all those books. Wow. He said, listen, I understand books. And when I tell you, if all the books in the world, we couldn't write enough books about what he did. Obviously, he did awesome, 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 awesome. Lots and lots and lots. Wow. Wow. Now, back over, if you would, to chapter 12. Now, in the light of that, remember now, I'll do it a different way so you see it. Remember, he's the invisible God. God makes himself, there's no way you can see, deal with God at all. John chapter 5, I'll have to go. John chapter 5, picking up if I may. John chapter 5, and picking up the thought, verse 36, 5 and 36. But I have greater witness, said the Lord, than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do. I do the works of the Father. They bear witness of me, about what? That the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. So I'm trying to tell you, it isn't about me, it's about who I am. I am God in the flesh, bringing God's wonderful person in all of his fullness to you so that you can know him and honor him now. And in chapter 5, verse 17, going back, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh, and hitherto I work. Sliding down, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said unto that sin also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. That's correct. But do you understand? Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, amen, amen, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Do you understand? I'm the perfect, I represent God, and I give God the opportunity to present himself without getting in the way. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and in verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up, we just read that, remember he's going to, in John 12, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, crucified him, then shall you know that I am he, when I'm crucified and resurrected, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath caught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I do always those things that please him. Time and space are in the middle of God. Time, space. It's in the middle of God. Wow, God's wonderful, wonderful, invisible person. He, King, immortal, invisible God. That's right. Moses believed and endured because he believed he saw the invisible God. And Moses believed. And Moses, that's why he succeeded. He believed God, and he couldn't see him, but he believed because he was invisible. That's right. Over to Colossians 1. Hold your finger in here like that. Colossians chapter 1. And picking up, direct statement, you can't do it clearer than that. John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, picking up if I can in verse 15. Who is the image, our Lord Jesus Christ, of the invisible God? Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Firstborn. For in, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, things that are created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things are held together. All of creation is because of him. Verse 15, he is the exact image of God, Hebrews 1:1-2, without turning there. God made, born in Bethlehem of Judea, without sin, conceived by the Spirit of God. So when you looked at perfect humanity, God looked and saw himself in the mirror. The Lord is the derived image. Where does Jesus Christ come from? God. Genesis 1:26-27. You are made in the image and likeness of God. Why? So that when God looks at you, he sees himself. He is the creator of you, the savior of you. And when he looks at you, he sees himself. Sin loused that all up. Jesus Christ came to repair it, to fix it, to bring it all back together. He is the man to do it. He represents the invisible God in a most marvelous and unique way. Now, so you would remember, and you would, in Matthew, you don't have to turn there, Matthew chapter 21. How are we going to introduce the one born in Bethlehem of Judea? We're going to call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. What else are you going to call? Verse 23. We're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. He's going to tell him. So everyone got it clear? Jesus, Savior, and God with us. So we start out very clearly, very simply, wonderfully. So God, you're going to give a wonderful, perfect expression of who you are. You have done it in all different kinds of ways and powers and displays of your wonderful power and person. But the most magnificent of all is when you were born in Bethlehem of Judea. You presented yourself perfectly in your Son. Uh-huh, I did. Over, if you would please, in your Bible, to Exodus. You don't have to turn there. But Exodus 3 and 14. Moses wants to know, having been introduced to God at the burning bush, personally, directly, he wants to know, fulfilling the assignment to go to Pharaoh and the Israelites, they're not going to believe. God, who do I say sent me to say and do these marvelous things? And the Lord said, Exodus 3:14, as you know, say this, Moses, tell him my name. I am that I am. That's what you tell him. That's what you tell him. Hang on to that. Well, I want you to tell him that. Now, I'm going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, etc. I want you to something else. Over to Isaiah. Isaiah. And chapter 43. The assignment of Israel, remember. The assignment of Israel, Isaiah 43, going directly in the light of that fact, they were to be witnesses. Verse 10, 43:10 of Isaiah. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, purpose, that you may know, and believe me. You may know me and believe me, and understand what? That I am he. I am he. I am exactly who I am. And before me there was no God, neither shall there be after me. I'm it. Understand? The little words, G-O-D. You can't get hardly smaller or shorter than that. Except it is I. I am. There's three letters too. God, I am. Three letters. Now, and, verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord. Beside me, there is no Savior. Now, over to that, and take a look again, Isaiah chapter 9, and think what that says. Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, speaking of the Messiah, the Christ, he's going to sum it up wonderfully for us. Chapter 9 and verse 6. Unto us a child is born, Bethlehem of Judea. Unto us a son is given. And the government, God gave birth to a body, and God the Son entered the body that was given, prepared for him. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And then I note, the Mighty God. What are we going to call the person born in Bethlehem of Judea? The Mighty God. You didn't believe on my humanity. You're believing on my deity, who I am. You keep looking at my humanity, and never getting past the flesh to see who's talking to you. Over if you would, please. The mighty God, oh more, the everlasting Father. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When you heard me, you heard the Father. I am the everlasting Father. I am the mighty God. Now, how else can you say it? Now, how else are you going to say anything? Now, hang on. Over, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 6. Let me do just an exercise that may help you. Because I want to get the awesome moment for these people when he tells them, I can't say it clearly. I am God. It isn't me, it's my Father. I am the mighty God, the Father, the everlasting Father. I am Emmanuel, God with you. Do you understand? How can I make it clearer? All my works, all my words, I can't make it clearer. No matter how you cut the cookie, no matter what you do. Now, thus in John chapter 6. I want you to turn the pages and follow me. It's easy. It'll keep you awake and you'll get it. I hope you get it. Wow. John chapter 6, here's his 3.5 years of ministry, 3 1/3 years of ministry. And he, over and over and over and over and over again, that's right, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's right. John chapter 6, verse 20. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid, it is I am, literally, I am equals, it is I. Do you understand? You guys are all upset out there in the ocean, in the sea, and all of the problems in your life. We're in trouble. What are you going to say? I am. It is I. In the midst of all the things in your life, I am. It is I. I'm there where you are, right now. It is I. Oh, give me something. No, it is I. Be quiet and still. But the waves, the problems. No, it is I. Do you know who I am? Well, let me do it again. Chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. I am God took care of us. Remember their question. God took care of us in the wilderness and all of that. And now how are we going to, God, are you, God, well, I need. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am. But, thou knowest the need even before we ask you. Uh-huh. I am. Do you know who I am? The problem is, do you know who I am? Ah, again, chapter 8. As you know, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Uh-huh. I want light. I need to see. God, I can't see you. I can't feel you. I don't know if you're there. I don't know if you can help me. I don't know who can help me. Well, God said, listen, I'm the light. I am. I want you to believe. I am. The minute you start believing, the blindness of your heart will disappear and you'll start seeing. Believe what? I am. I am. Once you stop believing, you'll start seeing. And you want to see. Believe. Believe what? I am. Wow. Verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now God, the great problem, how are we going to handle all the different problems, sins and guilt and pressure and punishment and everything that's in our little lives we deal with, darkness? God said, listen, I want you to be able to handle sin and death. Do you believe that I am? How am I going to handle it? Do you understand I am? Believe me. Believe what? That you are. What are you going to tell the people, Moses? I am that I am. He sent me. Lord, what are you going to tell the people in your perfect humanity? I am who sent me. I am he. Wow. Okay. Verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You're trying to get history and your world and your little life worked out. Do you understand? Before you were ever created, born, before the earth ever existed, I am. That ought to give you something to work with. You're sitting there, who knows, who can help me? Before anything ever was, I created it, I am. Wow. Wow. Chapter 10. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. You want to go? Where do we go? How do I get to you? How do I get to you, God? How do I get to you? Through the door. Through the door. I am the door. So if I believe you believe, he that cometh to God, Hebrews 11:6, must believe that what? He is. That's right. What else? He is. Believe. You are, about who you are. Once I'm not trying to tell what you can do, it's who you are. I am. I am the door. And not only am I the door, verse 11, I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. And you know what? I said, I care. I died for you. I took you to the cross. I want you to know that I'm able to help you like a shepherd sheep. Now, sheep are awful stupid, so that ought to encourage each of us. They're just stupid. They without someone helping them, they're all over the place. All over the place, sheep are. We've turned everyone to what, Isaiah? To his own way, like sheep. Wow. God, you're the shepherd. Yeah. God, I don't know how's it going to go? How's things are going to go? What about the lion, the bear, the snake? What about the robbers, the bad guys, the good guys? What about them? I'm your shepherd. I am. I am the shepherd. Oh, the shepherd. Uh-huh. Wow. Verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent me into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. Remember, our Lord said, who do people say that I am? And then he said, who do you say I am? Who do you say, John 60, who do you think I am? Well, you're God. Well, what about me? What about God? What about God? What about Jesus of Nazareth? What about him? I am. Because I tell you I'm God, does that bother you? And that's the whole problem with Antichrist, isn't it? We don't want to believe Jesus is God. That's the whole problem with unbelief. And we receive what? Who? Jesus. I received a wonderful God, the invisible infinite God, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. God places us in God in a most awesome way. And remember now, I've told you that 1,000 times, that you can never see anybody. All you see is the body that you live in. That's all you can ever show anybody, is the body that you live in. You don't. No one sees you. They understand you and know you by your behavior and your physical appearance in the light. But no one sees you. No one sees anybody. God sees them. We're spirit. We're like all the angels, good guys and the bad guys. You can't see them. You can't see the sound waves. You can't see the noise. You can't see the pictures. You can't see anything. No, it's a whole nother realm. And we're in the material, physical, earthly realm. Now, in the light of that, I'm God, chapter 11. As you know, chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I am. I am the resurrection. Well, where is the resurrection? I am the resurrection. Where is the life? He that hath the Son hath. He that hath not the Son hath no life. I am the life. Do you understand? You're trying to get something you put in your pocket? You know, a little something you can play with. You can't do that. It's about a wonderful God, and you don't play with him. You just get to know him. And you can read about him and write about him and even pray to him. You need to know him. I am. Wow, I am. I'm the resurrection of the life. Wow. And thus, over to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 6, you know. Jesus saith unto him, to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So, Lord, what did you just say in chapter 12, verse 44 and verse 45? It isn't me you're believing on. It's my Father you're believing on. I don't do anything. I don't say anything. I simply represent God's wonderful will and way. That's all I do. And when you see me, you're hearing and seeing God's wonderful person and power, the invisible, infinite God in my flesh. Wow. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm trying to tell you, you want to get to me, Gentiles, Jews, Pharisees, Sadducees, you got to come to me, who I am, wow. And in closing, chapter 15, and in verse, if I can, chapter 15, picking up if I can, in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am. I'm the one. You follow the vine to get to the tree, to get to the great eternal foundation of forever. I'm the vine. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If you're attached to me, you're attached to my Father. Thus, verse 5, as you know, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, in any way, in every way, shape and form, you can do how much? Zero. Because I am who I am. It isn't about me, it's about who I am. Do you understand who I am? And they crucified him. And God's going to give the greatest sign of all, the most magnificent, most wonderful thing of all, in the light of what we just mumbled. He's going to rise again. He said, that's the only sign I'm going to give anyone
until I come, of who I am. Wow.
Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness and grace, and deal with us according to your goodness, and God, help us. Thank you very much. Spirit of God, it's so marvelously simple. You are awesomely awesome. And God, it's just a wonderful relationship to your wonderful person. We said it in Isaiah 43. To be able to know you, to believe you, to understand your wonderful person. You said it, he that cometh to God must believe that you are, by faith, exactly who you are. And God, thank you very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, deal with their heads and hearts. It couldn't be simpler, easier, no matter how you do it. God, and we don't want to be like the Pharisees. We don't want to be like the Sadducees. We don't want to be like the Jews or the Gentiles that just didn't believe. They just had one terrible problem trying to handle it. And there you were standing in front of them. And here we are wonderfully in your presence. Thank you very, very much. Being who you are. In Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for that. And you might like to turn in your hymnal, please, to, if you would, to 562.